for Tuesday, July 17, 2018. We've got Alderman Schuske, Alderman Toth, Alderman Cook present, and staff. Citizens' comments. Citizens' comments on anybody?
Citizens' comments, yes.
It would probably be whatever you want to talk about. I'm assuming.
Yeah, it's unrelated. It can be unrelated.
They want to do it now, or they want to do it? Their items, huh?
The committee agendas are only one citizen comment section, but it is at your discretion if I prefer to run the meeting.
Do we want, we'll go ahead and just, we'll give you the comment time as we get to item number 7.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Or agenda.
With that announced, then minutes for correction approval, June 19th, 2018. Everybody good? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? New business. Item 1, PW 2018-65, Capital Improvement Projects Update.
All right, this is the quarterly update that we provide, and be happy to go through it if you'd like or address any questions, whatever the preference of the committee is.
Does anyone have any?
Hey, blame me.
Okay. Okay, we'll move on to item 2, PW 2018-66, bond/LLC reduction quarterly update.
Yeah, another quarterly update and no activity in the last quarter with any reductions.
So does GC Housing, is that a reduction or?
That was a reduction, yeah, that happened the basically the first quarter. But we are still holding money because they don't have 100% of everything complete. We're still waiting on the record drawings. You'll definitely should see some activity this quarter. So next time you'll see it in October, should see some additional action.
Good. Second. Good. Item 3, PW 2018-67, MPDES Annual Report.
All right, this is another informational item. This is an annual report that we need to submit to be in compliance with our MPDES stormwater permit. So it's just there for your information, and if you have any questions, be happy to address.
Okay. Item 4, PW 2018-68, 2018 Sanitary Sewer Lining Change Order Number 1.
All right, this is for the lining project. The contractors actually completed 100% of the initial contract, so that work is done. Under the discussion point, the first bullet, there was some calcium deposits that were extremely hard, and the contractor had to use some specialized equipment to cut those out in order to be able to perform the lining. So that was some additional work, and the dollar value is noted in the packet. The next item below that is an add-on that we would like to pass out for consideration. You might recall some discussion about Raintree Village and some analysis that we've looked at. We've done some flow monitoring. We've identified that there's a high amount of stormwater that is basically getting into the sewers somehow. We've identified a couple areas. We have some basically three laterals that were clearly identified. With some televisa, included a picture in the one that's pretty obvious. You see the water coming in at the joints. That's bad for the sewer system. Eric's got a lift station that during rain events, just
doubles.
Sees a tremendous amount of flow. So it's our recommendation at this time to fix those three laterals and just tack that on to the lining contract. This contractor is able to do that type of work. Then there's additional investigation that we're still looking into, which may lead to further additional work, but these were by far the three worst areas that were discovered. So the total request is $17,312.50 on top of the base contract. All of this proposed work is still well within the budgeted amount that we currently have.
Good. Should just go on consent? What do you think? Put it on there and somebody can pull it off? All right, yeah, go ahead and then we'll put it on consent. Item number five, PW 2018-69, small cell wireless fees and code amendment.
Before you, you have a very detailed memo, and then you have some red line changes to Chapter 8, Chapter 10, and Chapter 18 of the codified. Tonight, we're talking about Chapter 8 and 10 primarily. Chapter 18 will be before the Planning and Zoning Commission tomorrow because it is a text amendment. Within the zoning code, it goes to a public hearing first, and then we'll still go back to City Council for approval. What this boils down to is that a Small Wireless Facilities Deployment Act was recently passed. So there are new rules, regulations, and fees for small cells, small cell companies that come and want to put a wireless facility onto an existing pole or put up their new pole. So if you can recall, last year we did a change to these sections of codified as well because there was legislation passed at that time. We have one existing on a pole in Center Parkway currently that is grandfathered in, and then we have a pole out front here of City Hall that is also grandfathered in. So the changes outlined are changes to the right-of-way ordinance. So when these companies are wanting to put on an existing utility pole, it's almost like a small antenna on top of them. So the new rules and regulations regulate what those look like. I can go into detail on that if you'd like me to, or the process is outlined. The zoning code does reflect a new definition of small cell wireless facility, and then it references the right-of-way ordinances, and there is a new fee structure. The most important change that I see in this is that the city does get a payment every year, a recurring payment, back from the company if it is on an existing city-owned utility pole. So that is within the ordinance as well. Any questions?
How are they monitored? Like, I notice when I walk, like on Mill and 126, there's 2-3 poles that have the little white antennas. Like, do we monitor that at all, or they just have at it?
They have at it. They're also on our water towers in our locations.
But those would be like right away. I don't know if that is.
So anything on the water tower would need a lease agreement. Mm-hmm. And then there's controlled access there, obviously, through our water tower sites. The one at Mill and 126, Mill Street and 126?
Yeah.
Wondering if there's an existing...
They're on utility poles.
Easement?
It's ComEd's.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're in the right of way. So I didn't know, like, do we monitor that, or is that just between them
if
and ComEd's poles?
If it's actually ComEd's utility, it might be covered under our ComEd franchise agreement. Mm-hmm. If it's a non-ComEd antenna, meaning that there's subleasing or leasing pole space to a communications company, it probably would be covered under this. So we'll have to go out and take a look. But that would be similar to, like, you know, somebody doing unpermitted work in the city.
I was just
take a look at
like
it and figure it out.
How do we monitor that? Like, is it, do we?
Yeah, we haven't really
we
talked
haven't
about
drive
it.
By.
Like, yeah.
But we can. We absolutely can.
Yeah.
I just noticed that one. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, look, there's a photos up there. They've probably been there for a while.
And a lot of that we learn from
yeah.
residents
mm-hmm.
as well.
Right.
Well, I thought they were just little extensions.
These are just little white.
Bart was telling me they can be like, they're like 3 or 4 feet tall.
Yeah,
well, these look like maybe a foot. Maybe a foot. They're white.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking
yes.
they were, and then I was surprised when I learned that.
Those may be something different. So, you know, some of the small cell antennas, like Ken's talking, have the little box with
mm-hmm.
them.
These are just like a white addition onto the top of the pole, so I was wondering if that's what these...
They may be a relay.
Like
it
a
may
ping
be,
spot.
Yeah. Right,
yeah.
It may be
yeah.
just a relay spot.
That'd be my guess. I think the small cell companies have been pretty understanding that this is a new technology. So I know the one that went out here in front of City Hall, you know, they knew they had to file a permit, mm-hmm. and they did so. So we'll go
right.
and check
I mean,
on
it's
that
not
one.
Bothering anything.
Yeah.
I'm just reading this.
Right.
I'm like, oh, look, there's
well,
no
and we'll take a we'll definitely take a look
yeah.
and you know, mark it down to something.
Okay,
no,
I was just curious out. After I spotted them after reading this.
Okay, Siebert? Okay. So that goes to the hearing and then right to City Council from there, right?
Correct,
okay.
Because the Act does say that we have to have the fees in place by August 1st.
Okay.
So it's a little bit more expedited than a normal schedule we will have. But we can push it back if you'd like to. Otherwise, we would just take it right to City Council.
Does anybody have a preference for consent or not consent?
I think depending on the outcome from
PCC, let's hear the hearing.
It should probably be on the regular.
Yeah. Okay, number six, PW 2018-70, ground effect sidewalks.
All right, this is coming out of last month's discussion about potential sidewalk in that area. So we had visited the site. We actually researched the right-of-way in that area as well. And it turns out the right-of-way on the south side near ground effects is only 3 feet roughly off the back of curb, which is very unusual. But it's my understanding that was negotiated back in the day and apparently some tough negotiations. So there's really not room to build a sidewalk unless you're going to purchase right-of-way. So with that being known, we took a look at it and came up with three different options. A really rough conceptual cost estimates at this point, but option one is just kicking it to the north side. You have some additional crossing, of course, across Greenbrier, but that's your least cost option, you know, roughly $80,000, no right-of-way needed to be able to accomplish. Option two, you put the sidewalk basically right next to the curb, carriage walk, build a 5-footer. You would definitely need to purchase some right-of-way in order to make that happen. There's some other complications because you have existing landscaping and or, I guess, products that are in the in that area that would have to be relocated and to a cost. So we made some assumptions, really rough assumptions for land acquisition and also assumptions for relocating, you know, some of the patios that had been built in that area. And you know, it ends up being pretty expensive. Option three is just basically carrying the sidewalk through, like you would normally see in the right of way. So there would be the back of curb, there'd be parkway, you know, 7-8 feet, and then your sidewalk. And that's much more expensive, much more right of way to purchase, quite a bit more of the patio. Type of structures to relocate. There's a lot of trees that would be in the way, pretty mature trees. Those would all have to be removed. I believe the driveways are also brick paver, so it had to be some work done around there. So it gets pretty complicated pretty quickly trying to do something on the south side. So that's just kind of a brief overview summary, and happy to answer any questions.
So if we did go on the north side, because the other advantage on the north side would be that when you get down to 47 and you where the path and the sidewalks are at that point, you would actually be on, you would avoid probably crossing where the ground effects trucks and stuff come in out of.
Correct.
Because now you're at the intersection, they got to stop there. So I guess that would be an advantage of also on the north side. Yes. Is that number that much higher? It's still a lot higher than what we thought it might be. Is that?
I think there's just, it's probably conservative, but we probably want to be a little bit conservative at this point.
Okay.
If it's something that we want to really investigate, to move
like
forward
that.
With, okay. I'm sure we can. That number can be trimmed down. And there's probably work that Public Works can do if, you know, if we move in that direction.
Because I know when I met with the residents there, and actually there's a lot of people from Briarwood also come out down, and they walk to the stub and then they stop and turn around and walk back the other way. But
sure.
I told them that there was several possibilities with what, and then we kind of discussed it a little bit too at that point, that some of the advantages and disadvantages. I guess as long as you were to put that entrance for that, like a gradual for a wheelchair type or a
yes.
scooter type thing that they
yes.
can get up and down,
yes.
like with any
mm-hmm.
corner of a street.
Mm-hmm.
Or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have to be.
We would
they
have to do
have
that
to.
Anyway. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the other thing I was wondering about, it might not be. Well, I mean, it could be 20 years away because I don't know when that's a commercial area that's on a corner. So whenever that was to get developed. Is there a recapture way that when they were to develop that? Because normally that's when you would put the sidewalk in, right?
Correct, yes.
Yeah, so are you able to get some of this back at that point in time, you think, if that happens?
That,
or is that, you can't do it?
I don't even know off the top of their head.
I believe it came in with Briarwood.
Yeah, I think so too. Is it? Yeah, I think
it is
right.
The city limits. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if they came to us and just asked for a building permit or straight zoning, no, there would not be a way for us to recapture that. If they asked us for an incentive package or any considerations, variance of special use, you might be able to make that as part of the development process.
But the reason that never got put in was because it hadn't developed yet, right? If they develop it, they have to put the sidewalks in, don't they?
Theoretically, yes.
Yeah, that's how we do everything else.
But you're not allowed to go back and say, you know, if it's 20 years down the road, we put the sidewalk in, so it should have been on your punch list. You know, we're going to hold up an occupancy permit as a result of that. Okay. So you have to have a recapture agreement.
I was just thinking of some type of recapture agreement. If because we're really doing it before it becomes the time to do it. But
I'm sure we would try. You know, we would make the
pitch. It's a savings to them, whoever they read it when they develop.
But I don't know if there's anything legally we can withhold.
Any other? It's really weird. You have three subdivisions and a stub. Mm-hmm. There's a stub right at that line, and then on either side there's nothing. So, and a lot of people use it. I'm surprised how many people use the path and the sidewalks on along 47. There's a lot of activity. So, I know it's a little more than we thought at first. So.
So there's no specific proposal to fund it at this time, is what I'm hearing. We know the cost, and as we talk about budget priorities, it may come up at some point in the future, or do you want us to...
Well, I thought that was the idea. We could start working on the funding, because I know you said it was $30,000 or $40,000.
Yeah.
We probably had
doable.
It.
Sure.
So if this could get whittled down a little bit, or if we were able to go forward, I would think that... I don't want to put it away, and then it'll be sitting here a year later.
Sure.
And I think Joel feels the same way too on it. And Carlo does too. So,
do you want to schedule it for an update like a couple months from now?
No.
September, October. It's right in the middle of our goal setting session season.
Can we? Is there a reason you can't look at the budget before then?
No, and certainly we're doing that now with the HVAC.
I was thinking that was exactly what I was thinking. If we got money to find for that, then
yeah.
I would like to see you try to, I don't know how the rest of the council feels, but.
Okay.
Well, I know there's a lot of, when I walk it, there's a lot of older people.
The one lady on the walker, she does 7 miles. Yeah. When she walks to Walgreens, she goes through Briarwood, down to where the veterinarian is, and all the way down. That's how she gets, when she comes back.
I know there's a couple I see around too, so, older couple. So they really don't have a way of getting there, other than walking in the street.
So
I'm fine to keep the momentum on it if we can.
Give them back the sidewalk they tore out on Kennedy.
Huh?
We can recycle it.
What? The good sidewalk we tore out on Kennedy. I'm willing to donate that back to another area.
Okay. All right, that could be some direction then, and see if you can find the money.
Yeah, I think it'd be appropriate for us to pare down the cost estimate for next month's meeting.
Okay.
And then we can assess with other budget priorities at that time.
All right.
Next month's Public Works Committee, if that's okay.
Okay. Okay, item 7, PW 2018-71, Old Jail RFP.
Okay, I did have the handout here from Steve. It's got the bids, just the summary of those bids and the tracking document. And so we originally were going to open bids last Thursday, which would have given us at least a little bit of time to vet submittals before the meeting. But we ended up having to push the deadline to today, this morning at 10 a.m. So we opened bids at that time, and our low bidder at $78,000 was Deconstruction. We did have 6 bids, which is good, especially for a project of this size. You know, we've been feast or famine on a couple of our last bids. And so those range from $78,000 to $145,000. And they are pretty evenly spaced throughout, so that means we had a lot of good contractor responses. So those are the bids. We haven't fully vetted them yet. The amount of time that Steve was able to spend on it today, nothing popped up that suggested Deconstruction couldn't do the job. But we will continue to work on that before Thursday's packet deadline. And we should have everything buttoned up for you for City Council on July 24th.
On these numbers, since they're a little bit pretty different, is that including the remediation part?
It is, yes.
They know they bidded that also?
All six contractors ended up submitting for full scope. We did actually contact a couple environmental subcontractors just to figure out how much the environmental portion cost. And we actually managed to contact one of the subs for one of the bidders. They gave us a price of about $27,000. So our original internal estimates were between $40,000 and $80,000 for total removal, and then we added the environmental onto it. So it's at the high end of that original estimate with the environmental added into it. So if you were to back that out, we would be right around $50,000, which is on the low end of our original cost estimate. So I was pleased to see that we had a couple that would have fell right in that range.
You guys wanted to speak?
Yes. Okay. I have just a couple of questions to ask.
Okay.
Hello, I'm Lisa Lalanzovich. For those that haven't met me before, I'm with the Save the Old Jail Committee. We are a group of Yorkville homeowners, taxpayers, voters that are concerned about what's happening with our historic building. And I have a couple of questions for you when you were talking about the demolition. And you were saying that the open bids were pushed back to today. Could I ask why?
Yeah, we did the contractor walkthrough, which is mandatory at the end of June. And at that meeting, one of the contractors had raised a question about whether the environmental remediation of potential asbestos and lead needed to be done before the building was demolished. And so we inquired with the IEPA. It turned out that the IEPA did pass new regulations for commercial building destruction January 1st of 2018. And so they had advised us that before the building could be torn down, that those environmental issues had to be remediated. So we did hire an inspector to come out, take a look at the environmental issues that confirmed asbestos in pipe wrapping, floor tiles, some ceiling tiles, and
some compromised ground.
Okay, and a fair amount of lead paint, and so all those things. We had a choice as to whether we could go in and pay for it, do it ourselves prior to the bids were submitted, or just wrap it into the bids. We chose to tell the contractors that they should include that within their scope, and so we gave them an additional 5 days to respond to our RFP with that information.
Okay, was the EPA or the Illinois State Preservation contacted?
The IEPA was, yes. I do not believe that IEHPA was contacted at any point. I know that I've had contact with a few different historical preservationists in the past couple weeks, but I don't remember if any of them were with IEHPA at all.
Because if all of you don't realize, the building has been recognized by the state of Illinois, it is eligible for the National Registry of Historic Places. There are only two sheriff's jails and residences still left in our country. So the Illinois State Preservation Office is very active and wants to be contacted, actually needs to be contacted before anything demolition or EPA can be done. So was there someone in the building then in the end of June?
Someone as in contractors?
Was someone going through, yes. Inside after it was boarded up?
We conducted a walkthrough with contractors at the end of June.
At the end of June. So the building was opened up and went in.
Yeah, I'm not sure what entrance you used, but okay. Yeah.
Wasn't there a concern about mold getting out of the building and endangering the residents?
Sure. Steve, can you talk a little bit about the precautions we took?
It wasn't so much in exiting the building. We were concerned with the environmental status of the building inside, so we required masks, safety glasses, suits if they deemed necessary before they could enter the building.
Okay. Because I noticed when the boarding company came in that they were not wearing hazmat suits. I was in the building that day and I walked through with the boarding company and I didn't feel any need for any respirator or anything. But anyway, digressing back. Okay. We are filling out our paperwork for the National Trust, and I do have another question, if there was any photographs done of the basement at all? Are there any photographs?
Not recently, no.
Okay.
I don't know if there were any before that.
Okay. Does anyone know that's here if the oil tanks are still in the basement?
I don't know.
Or if they were in the basement. Does anyone know?
To my knowledge, the oil tanks were on the outside of the building at one time.
Okay.
Concrete pad.
Okay. Were they removed?
Yes.
Do you know when?
No, I don't.
Okay, because we weren't able to find anything. When we were researching the history of the building, we had to go through the heating system. And there is, we do have verification, actually in photographs as well, that there were oil tanks on that property. And if you don't have the documentation that they were removed, an EPA level 2 study needs to be done on the property. So I just thought I'd let you know, because we are working with the National, working with the registration with the National Trust. I thought I'd make you aware of that.
Can I ask you something? So do you know if they were there when we purchased it?
I don't believe they have been in that, the amount of remediation work that was completed after we took over was very minor from what I can remember. It was mostly junk clearing and some minor remediation to the first floor so that it could be used for a haunted house. So I don't remember anything substantially being done there. Okay.
I couldn't find anything with the tank in the basement at all, but I did. We do have actually signed documentation from Mrs. Franz that said that the building was oil heated, and we do have a photo from 1910. So, just to let you know, at one time or another, there was oil on the property. Let me see if I had another question for you. I think I did. We answered this one. This one. This one. Okay, oh yeah, one last question. And we are hoping to talk with the City Council next week, we are hoping to maybe partner with the city to take a slightly different direction on the building. We would like to see the connecting building separated from the original structure and tuck pointing and the roof repaired to the building. But that is another story. Is there something that can be broken out if we can convince you with what we are trying to do? Can this demolition be broken out into a partial? Can those costs be broken out? Or is another bid going to be needed if you decide to go that way?
We had asked for a substantial amount of additional work to button up the shell of the building to put it into a state of permanent dormancy. So that it would be structurally sound, so we would have to re-scope it.
Okay. That's unfortunate. When we were at the meeting in May, it was suggested that they do a full and partial, and it kind of gets everyone in a tough spot. But I think that's all I have. Does anyone else have anything?
I just wanted to ask about the roof. Is the roof still iron?
Does
anybody know? So it must have been changed a long way. I spent the afternoon going through the original county specifications from 1892 when it was built, and the roof was iron at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just wondering if it's made a change. So if anybody happened to know what it's made of now.
It's asphalt shingles.
It is asphalt shingles. Would they be on top of the iron roof, do you know?
It does not appear to be that way. I think there's a hole in the roof where you can actually see through to the wood.
Now, is that in the new section?
In the old section.
In the old section, okay.
There's a couple holes in there now.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah? Any questions there? All right. So then the next thing would be we'll go for the council.
Yeah, there's no action needed. We weren't asking for a recommendation because the bids were open this morning. So it would just be on the Public Works regular report for consideration next week.
Okay, item 8, PW 2018-72, Metro Support Resolution.
Okay, so we've got our CMAP, is it GoTo 2050?
On to
2050, GoTo 2040, 10 years ago. So they do their region-wide comprehensive plan every 10 years, and it looks 25 years into the future, plus. And in order to get projects listed into that plan as high priority or even low priority, You have to, similar to our comprehensive plan, you have to submit an idea. It has to be vetted by CMAP staff and then any supporting entities. So, you know, through our federal earmark for the Metro extension over the past 15 years, it's popped up on a couple CMAP plans in general, but it never has really been a high priority. And so in brainstorming with Oswego officials on this project, we thought it'd be a good idea to make sure that it was included as a high priority project in the On to 2050 plan. And so we're asking the city to pass a resolution of support for inclusion into that plan, and then to follow up with Metra to ask for their support for inclusion into that plan as well. So Oswego, I think, is voting on their resolution tonight, and so ours would be next week's agenda, if everybody's okay with it. It is in our comprehensive plan. It's a big issue, something that we've been talking about for decades.
Good. Okay. Proceed. Old business.
Can we put that on consent agenda?
Sure. Good, right? Okay. Old business. PW 2018-58 Beecher Center HVAC award of contract.
Okay. So we've approved the budget amendment for this project, and we were waiting on approval of the actual low bidder until after the fiscal year 18 budget numbers were more solidified. So we're reviewing those tomorrow. We'd originally approved a budget with a $500,000 or $600,000 deficit in the general fund. We expect to end the year with hopefully $250,000 in surplus, so that's quite a swing. 43% plus in our general fund is what we're hoping for reserves. Effectively, with some of the TIF deficit, that puts us closer to 30, I think it's in the 35% range. So still above our minimum policy and better than it has been in the past. You know, with this project, we have an existing tenant in there. It provides a need to the community. You know, you've got one of the two HVAC units that is beyond repair. We don't really have a choice other than to continue to run a temporary hardwired electric heating unit, which is not the best long-term solution, two of them. And so we do recommend moving forward with approving the low bidder. I think it's Trico. It's about $340,000, which is actually right in line with where we had estimated when we opened bids a couple weeks ago. So that's the staff recommendation, is to move forward with the low bidder.
So this needs to go up to next council?
Correct. It was an open bid or closed bid process, and they are the low bidder, so it would be a simple majority approval by city council if everybody thinks it's okay.
Yeah, I think though we probably shouldn't have this on consent. This should be
talked about.
Yeah, because it's a large chunk of money, so.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, if we go to the council, let's go to regular and not consent. Okay. Any additional business? Nope. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you.